Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your backup, second man, plan B, scab player, if you remember the NFL strike in the 80s. Dave Atwell speaking, filling in for Dr. John Stamey, who is out getting some rest right now or hunting Bigfoot, one of the two. Nevertheless, I am surrounded by perfection, so I don't have to try to carry everything on my own. I have a very esteemed panel with me tonight that's going to hold me up and looking
you
forward
have
to them doing
panel,
it.
Panel, who's going to be here?
Yeah, it's not the usual characters then, right? So, with that being said, Todd Saxon, my brother, how are you tonight?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. I am glad to be on Pop Culture Stars on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous evening out here. I don't know about you. I'm not getting any bug action. The wind's blowing enough to keep them away, so I am enjoying that to the fullest, to say the least. So, Todd, good to have you aboard. Next up, out there floating around while we brag about our wonderful weather here, Granny Hulkster is knee-deep or worse in water in Arkansas.
Well,
ma'am, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm good. I am not knee-deep in water, but several people are knee-deep. I've had some friends up in the Bentonville area that actually their house got flooded pretty bad. And, you know, there's a lot of places in northwest Arkansas that got kind of flooded. And they said we're expecting more rain, you know, tonight. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I have some puddles in my yard, but nothing like what I've seen around today. I mean, the streets earlier today were horrible. I mean, you couldn't even hardly drive down the streets without almost flooding out your car. I mean, I've seen pictures all over all day long on Facebook, and it was horrible. So, but I mean, I'm good. Got my second vaccination today, so I'm fully vaccinated. My son and I are fully vaccinated. My husband gets his second one next week. So, I mean, we're doing good. So,
awesome.
Good to hear that. Good to hear you got your your vaccinations and everything, a very important part of what's going on in the world now. So it's good to have you aboard tonight. Good to hear you're safe and waiting patiently for your superpowers to kick in. Looking forward to hearing about
it. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see what kind of superpowers I get, but, you know. After the roasting that I got, or the grief that I got Sunday night at the wrestling show that I went to, because I didn't even – Sunday was a very busy day for Granny. I had installation of officers at our Moose Lodge. I was an installing officer, so I had to dress rather nice. I had to wear, like, a nice skirt, really pretty blouse, and I didn't have time to come home and change before I went to WCWA. So here I wear this nice, pretty skirt, this nice, pretty purple blouse, and everybody says I look good in purple. Well, I didn't even think about it, but one of the heel wrestlers by the name of Will Alday, who actually gives me grief all the time, he wears purple. And he comes out, of course, he has purple in his tights. He had his purple jacket on. He's like, Granny, we're twins. You wore purple. You're my queen and all this other crap. And I'm like, no, I'm not your queen. Get away, you know. And so he's calling us the power couple, the power of purple couple. And, oh, my God. I mean, it was just like I got so much grief Sunday night from him. And the way he got that championship belt was just totally very, very wrong in my book. And I tell you, I have got to get a hold of the press at WCWA because Granny was not happy how that main event came down. I mean, they didn't even have the main event. They were supposed to have a main event, but they didn't have it because his opponent, the Magnificent Malico, they showed a video, and he was talking about Will Alday, and he's walking out in his driveway, and he steps out in the street, and all of a sudden, here comes this squealing noise, and he's like, what the hell? He gets hit by a car, and the car goes speeding off. So Malico was unable to be in attendance Sunday night, so he could not defend his championship belt. Well, somehow they got a hold of the championship belt and made the referee count to 10, and now Will Alday is our new Ozark heavyweight champion by, well, I don't want to go there, but I mean, oh, my God. And I told Will Alday, I said, I will never wear purple again. You will never see me in purple again. He said, but darling, you look so good in purple. I said, I don't care. You're not going to see me in purple again. And if Granny has anything to say about this, I'm going to overrule this decision. it made it good for the show, guys. It made it good for the show, and everybody got a big laugh out of it. But, oh, Granny's on the warpath right now. That's all I can say. Will Alday, you better watch your back, Will Alday, because Malico will be coming for that championship belt that you so rudely and unfairly took away from him.
You ought to be ashamed of what you did.
Yes, he should be ashamed. He should be ashamed of what he did. But he's not, should be.
I'm thinking of all the nights not to have Stro and Malcolm hear about how you were dressed to back to heel.
Well, I mean, and like I said, I honestly, guys, did not think about the purple. I really didn't. It's one of my favorite tops to wear. And I really was not thinking about him being in his purple tights because he's got other colors of tights that he wears besides the purple. And I honestly didn't think about the purple. You know, I just had to look nice for the installation ceremony. God, I wish I would have brought my clothes with me or something or had time to come home and change, but because I will never wear purple again. Not to that show.
Wasn't it Mark Lewin that used to wrestle with Kevin Sullivan? He used to go by the Purple Haze, if I remember right. Kind of
something like that.
Not mistaken. Of course, that's more than 20 minutes ago, so my memory is not going to be as robust as it normally is. But good to have you aboard this evening, Granny Hulkster, whether you're wearing your Granny Hulkster
shirt
or purple glass.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, last but certainly not least at all, up there in Indianapolis, Brother Tim, what is going on this evening?
Well, if I would have been in the same room, I'd have been looking around. I'm still not sure if I'm in the right podcast, because you mentioned perfection, surrounded by perfection. I've got the question mark above my head, like, really? But not to anybody else. I'm pointing the finger at myself here. But anyway, no, we're doing great here. Finally got a little bit of warm weather. Raining out today, but otherwise, you know, I was almost broadcasting tonight from the porch. It's about that time, and it is actually warmer outside than it is in here, so I could have done that. I did want to throw out one thing over toward Granny's way, not to stress you out anymore. That's not my intention, but I did want to point out a little fun article that I read that said there are a few people out there in the sports world, the sports analyst world, that feel that one of the biggest competitors, I'll leave it at that, for the Chiefs this year just might be the Indianapolis Colts. I can't remember the details, but I did chuckle a bit at that, so just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I think I read
looking
that.
Forward to
I,
a good
I
show.
Think I saw that same. I thought I saw that same article. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens. So I'm ready for football. Bring it on.
You bet. Same here. The draft starts tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because believe it or not, boys and girls, we are only 3 days away from the 1st of May. And I still have my Christmas tree up. So, I mean, it won't be long. September
That's
will
awesome.
Be here before you know it. And, we will be back to gluing ourselves
well, you know,
every
I have, one of my wrestling buddies, he has this big kick. He'll always be posting on Facebook. He does this countdown to Christmas thing, you know, and he will start like way early in the year, like 300 and some odd days to Christmas. And one year, he didn't do it right away like he normally did, and we're all like, Alan, what's wrong with you? Where's our countdown to Christmas at, you know?
Totally disappointed everybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he just broke everybody's hearts, you know, because he didn't do the countdown to Christmas thing, you know? But he starts, like, way early in the year, you know? But
so, Dave, I'm laughing with you, not at you, because the Christmas decorations on the inside are down, but I do still have some Christmas lights outside that have to come down. So, I hear you. I hear you.
Well, here's my suggestion. The hell with it, because you'll be putting them up in about another 6 to 5 months anyway. So
exactly.
Leave them up there.
If you haven't been sighted
be
by
like,
the cops.
Be like that. Tim, be like that Gretchen Wilson song. I leave my Christmas lights up all year round. You know, redneck woman, you know. She leaves her Christmas lights up here all year round. So, but I can say my Kansas City Royals are in first place right now, so I'm happy about that.
Well, it's baseball, so they only have, what, 5,642 more games to go before the World Series?
Only.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine a 162 game schedule has got to be. But, you know, in minor league ball right now, they are actually, if you look at the schedules for the minor league ball teams, they are scheduling week-long blocks to limit the amount of travel for those young men. So it's something different. And for, you know, us folks that attend minor league baseball, it kind of throws us off a little bit. But what they're doing is they're running, take, for instance, like the Myrtle Beach Pelicans and the Down East Water Ducks here in Kinston. They run Tuesday through Sunday and take Mondays off, and they will play the same team in the same stadium for five straight nights, and then
like
take a day off. Yeah. So, you know, and to the point right there, Todd, if you can get to all five games, I mean, that'd be pretty cool, where you can, you know, get four in and watch the rubber game in the fifth. So it's got its perks if you're able to go every night. But, yeah, it's a definite change, the scenery and everything. But you got to love some baseball. I still – baseball and hockey are my two big things. And football, if they don't tighten up, it's going to be drifting along with the – NBA on the same ice flow and me waving goodbye, but that's a whole different show. So, you know, Tim, just for the record, you were talking about sitting outside, and I understand now you are drinkless these days, but I am drinking right now a peach Crown Royal with Smithfield's iced tea with five Superman ice cubes in it, and I'm here to tell you, it is the nectar of the gods.
Damn.
It is good stuff. So that peach whiskey, I don't care if it's Jim Beam or Crown Royal, if you get your hands on it, boys and girls, not that I'm trying to lead you into any type of addictions or anything of that nature, but this peach whiskey is pretty damn life-changing. So good stuff if you get your hands on it.
I'll tell you what, before I quit, it was last summer, and it was actually clearance. I don't know why. It must have been after 4th of July or something, but Smirnoff at CVS had, the bottle was red, white, and blue, and it was something like, I don't know, I'm going to get it wrong, like red, white, and berry or something like that. So I bought that sucker. They had it for 75% off, took it home and mixed it, and oh, my God, it was like I was drinking a liquid alcoholic bomb pop, you know, the red, white, and blue bomb pops you could get.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. I'm telling you, I could get in trouble with that stuff. It went down so smooth. Oh.
that's usually where it gets you in trouble. If you've got something that's just got a smooth delivery to it, it's far, far too dangerous. I remember when the Bud Light Platinum, and I'm not a big Bud Light guy by any stretch of the imagination, but the Bud Light Platinum, when it first came out, I think it's a 6.0. And you know how Bud Light kind of has that watered-down taste to it? Well, the Bud Light Platinum actually has a little bit of a sting to it. So you're drinking those, man, and I mean, they just, it's a good-tasting beer, and it's going down left and right, and before you know it, your fat ass is in a bind because you're knocking down these beers like you normally do, but they're 6.0, and it's, you know, when you first get up to take a leak and the entire hallway tilts to the port side, that you figure out perhaps you might have overdone it. But yeah, if you can get a smooth drink like that, you've really got to watch yourself because it's easy to stray. This is good stuff, excellent stuff. So anybody listening, my apologies if you take a nosedive off your deck over this stuff. But, yeah, I definitely suggest the Pete's Whiskey. Anytime you can get it. Flash this evening, as we spoke in the green room, I was running behind with getting the show prep and everything because I went to the town of Southport, North Carolina, with my lovely bride, Dale. And we went down there, and every time we go to Southport, we enjoy going to the beach, but we go when there's nobody there. So when you're thinking the beach, anytime from April right on through to October, you won't find me there. But come October, I'm at the beach as much as I can because I'm antisocial and I am far too Caucasian for the direct sunlight. So Southport is a nifty little setup. But before I get into all of that, I figure tonight's topic would be nifty little things around our area that can be done for free or inexpensive, and not a whole lot of people know about it. Because, I mean, when you say entertainment for the family, you know, you immediately think Disney, you know, ball games, Six Flags, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you've got to really plan for these things financially. And a lot of times you'll go to these big attractions, and if you're really take the adrenaline and the anticipation out of it, you got to wonder if you're really getting bang for the buck, you know, in these bigger, more famous venues and everything. So I figure what we can do is shed some light on some different things around our areas that perhaps people can go to that won't cost an arm and a leg and actually have a blast doing it. So, going back to the Southport thing, Southport is a actually was pre-revolution town, and right there on the water, and I'm going to get this wrong, so if you're in Southport, I apologize. I want to say it's Fort Johnson, but it's a large brick colonial-style building, and down the street they actually have the cemetery where you can find the graves of Revolutionary War officers. And but nevertheless, it's right on the water. And when you hear the term beach, you're thinking blankets, umbrellas, sunglasses, people rubbing suntan oil on each other. This is not really a beach. There is a short pier, and it is a rocky, it's hard to get across, not real hard, but you really got to watch your step because there's a lot of jagged rocks. The seaweed is there making everything slippery. But the amount of stuff you find on this little strip of
shoreline is absolutely incredible. And it's not your usual fare, like, you know, your little scallop shells and rocks and that kind of jazz. You find everything but that. So today went down there, and I think we had been down there on the shoreline for maybe a minute, and I had already found a femur bone of some type or another. And before the show, I was cleaning it up. I'll post some pics on Facebook tomorrow for you guys to take a look at. But we found God knows how much sea glass, found some fish vertebrae. I found a piece of an old Pepsi bottle. Dale found a piece of pottery, and it's the sawed-out stuff, the stuff with the blue inlay on the back. So found pottery. Dale even found a shark's tooth. We never find a shark's tooth down there, but actually found one. But there was a lady there that we always see out there just walking around. She always wears like a yellow reflector vest, and she comes out there with a little tray and a rake and everything. And she knows everything about the area because she grew up right there on Lord Street, which is runs parallel with Howell Street, which takes you right to the waterfront. And so we got shooting breeze with her. Well, come to find out, this lady actually knows my brother's mother-in-law who lives in High Point. So we kind of hit it off and everything and got to talking, and she was talking about how she met her current boyfriend, and it was one of those things where circumstance just seems to happen, and the two of them been together. It's a cool story. But while she was out shell shooting there on the coast, he is a professional diver, and he was out there in the waters diving and trying to find artifacts there on the bottom of the waterway. So anyhow, after we parted ways and everything, you know, me and Dale started heading back because the tide was coming in, and here she comes back in our direction. And I was like, hey, you know, she says, hey, look, he just came up and he found this, and I wanted to give it to you. It's an old Pepsi bottle, a whole Pepsi bottle that was laying at the bottom of the damn ocean, and he found it scuba diving this afternoon. So right now I'm cleaning it up. I got it soaking the whole nine yards, get it cleaned and all that kind of jazz. But it cost us nothing but the drive to go down there. We had the best time, and we always do whenever we go down there. And, again, we didn't spend a dime, with the exception of gas. So there's little eatery places there. There's plenty of history, a lot of old colonial-style houses down there you can walk up and down the street and look at. But Southport is a dirty little secret, dirty in a good way. Because it's not like a Myrtle Beach where there's a lot of tourism and all that kind of hoodoo going on. It's quiet, little, and everybody is so friendly, so cooperative, and it's so pretty down there. And everybody seems to behave. And there's all walks of life, ages, the whole damn nine yards, and everybody just seems to get along and do their thing. So, yeah, that was a that's what brought to mind the idea for tonight's show. So, with all that being said, I want to pass it on to one of you guys. Do you guys got anything out there that is similar?
I guess I can go first here. I think what you're – not anything that really is compared what you're talking about. And in fact, I guess when I was thinking of the topic, I was going in a bit of a different direction. And I'm sure that, I know there's areas around here close to me. And when we think of like free and stuff, I always think of parks, like the, you know, not the state parks that you got to pay to get in, some pretty cool parks. There's one that's like probably 3/4 of a mile to a mile away from us, with some pretty cool trails to go back in the woods and stuff. So that's always fun to do. But when we're talking like pre-activities, I'll tell you what I'm a sucker for. And, you know, this isn't really anything that's just specific to my area at all. It's around my area, so it's something anybody really do. But if you got, you know, kids around, let's say you're just looking for something to do for the day, a couple of things that I really love doing that are essentially free is, for starters, one of my favorite hobbies is disc golf. Hamilton County has several beautiful disc golf courses. I mean, amazing disc golf courses. And they're in parks, and it's free to play. Obviously, you go buy some discs, but you can literally spend probably $10 to $15 for a putter, a driver, and a mid-range at a used at one of those played against sports shops used, and that, and then you're set. You know, that's all you need is a couple of discs, and you're set. So there's that. And then the other one makes me kind of a nerd, I guess, but I'm into a thing called geocaching. And there's an app you can get on your phone, and what it is, it's basically kind of like a hide-and-seek game based around GPS. So people, it used to be they put in the coordinates, but now I think the app is upgraded to where it's built in so where you don't have to plug in the coordinates. You just track stuff. So it will hide things. It's supposed to be out of plain sight. You might have to do a little bit of digging around for it. But the idea is they plant things. They go to the app. They say, hey, you know, here's a couple clues. There's something hidden in this spot, you know, and then it's up to you, like based on where you're at. You search for available geocaches, they pop up around you, and then you go look for them. I think it's fun as hell. Again, it's free. So there's like my two things, just kind of like if you want to be active and moving around. So I'm sure later on in the show, if we're still on this topic, I can probably think off the top of my head of a couple of really cool places around here. You know, and I could always do my little spiel for Indy, my travel guide spiel for Indy, and say all the different things you can do downtown. But I'll try to think more along the lines of up here in Westfield's neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't even know I had that GPS kind of stuff. That's different.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The,
awesome.
I heard about it but never really paid attention. The I almost wanted to say that. So to go along with our English lady, Dave came up with a little bit of an English theme for the show, because he was saying, you know, some of those less known things here. So it would have to be the category of not a lot of people know that. For those that get the reference. The,
play the music.
Just saying. The, no, there's, look, I'm going to throw out, this is, I'm always a big fan. It takes money. You got to restring stuff like that to get stuff together. But there's a million ways to save a little money, tying your own rig, stuff like that, big fishing guy, that kind of thing. And just love being, it gets you outside and stuff like that. I think the wives would tell us, well, it don't cost you anything to go out there and cut the lawn or trim the trees or do whatever. We got that stuff going for us. Tell me you guys ain't heard that. There's that. There's one here in the Jacksonville. It costs a little bit of money. It's not unfair. The guy runs it independently. Dave, it's just down the road from you. It's on that same road where the big equestrian place is. That guy runs his own little exotic animal zoo.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there a couple times. It kind of is like the Wakatee one in Myrtle Beach, but, you know, on a smaller scale. But, again, it's a nifty thing to do, and I don't know how much they're charging. But I can tell you, it couldn't be much more than $10 a person. And to your point, it's you know, it's right down the road, and it's fun. It's something different. It's you know, and a lot of times that's another thing about zoos. And I'm glad you brought that up, Todd, because traditionally going to the zoo, you know, and being a guy who you know, was from D.C. and lived in Chicago for 5 years. You know, going to the zoo is an event. As a matter of fact, it's damned exhausting. If you've ever been to the Capitol Zoo there in D.C., the National Zoo, it damn near takes 2 days. And you go home and you've got nothing left, and you spend a ton of money. But when you go to these little ones, like, you know, you were talking about the one up the road here, and I cannot remember the name. You're right, though. It's by Equine Country. But you go there, and there's picnic areas. There's not a bunch of crowds. There's, you can actually go there with a packed lunch, sit down and enjoy a meal together. You wouldn't have to pay, $5.50 for a hot dog or something like that. You have to do it a real...
Yeah, no crazy confessions.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, good call on that, man, because that's another one. And it's locally owned, locally ran. It's, helps out the...
Exactly.
Private business.
Yep. And some of the stuff he has isn't really all that exotic and stuff like that, but it's still cool because there are so many different... like some of the chickens he has. There are some wild doggone breeds of chickens by appearance. And there was a black one that had a white stripe on it. And as we were walking by it, I told Yuki, be careful, it's a skunk chicken. And you should have seen her try to jump and hop away and stuff like that. The kids still laugh at her about that one. She don't laugh real hard, but I'm just saying, she's still mad at me about that one.
The last time we were there, the guy that has there's that little reptile type house thing that's kind of in the back of the area there, that guy actually put on a show for us. We came up and we're just snooping around looking at everything. Next thing you know, he's pulling stuff out, showing it to us, giving us a little kind of behind the scenes thing. And he didn't have to do that. Just came right out and did it. And
exactly,
it was cool
the stuff he don't have to do. And that's him, because he'll come out and he'll check, and, he'll want to, I'm sure part of it is making sure there's no shenanigans. But, he can, he'll take, he'll work off the vibe. If people are having fun and enjoying things, he'll definitely be into it with you. Before he set up the feeders, and I'm the one I suggested to him many years ago, and I'm sure others did, said, you make a little money, and I don't know how much the initial investment is, but if you put some of these feeders out here for, a quarter, a turn or whatever, you can get a few extra bucks out of us that way. And tell me you don't like giving some of that feed to the goats and, and the stuff that they have going on. We were there by the big macaw cage, and one of those giant tail feathers had come out. And he came over by us while we happened to be there. I was like, dude, any chance we can steal the tail feather? I said, I'll go snip the end of that, of the quill part, and I'll take some of those little cheap pens, and I'll pull out the little link part thing, and my kid will have like a little, look like an old quill pen. And he was like, go on in and get it. I'm like, you sure I can go in there? He's like, yeah. I said, okay. That was pretty cool, and I sure enough did. Some of those cheap pens went, pushed the little ink thing out and snipped the end of it, slid it right up in there, and Garen had this fake-looking quill pen, and it was just kind of cool to have here at the house.
I'll be damned. Yeah, I know at the Wakati Zoo there in Myrtle Beach, they have peacocks walking around loose. Matter of fact, they'll scare the daylights out of you, because I don't know if y'all have ever heard a peacock make a noise, but it screams like almost like a Scream Queen movie, like a horror movie. And they'll make another sound that almost sounds like mama when it's hollering. And I'm here to tell you, when one of those things come flying, peacocks are a whole hell of a lot bigger than what you think they are when they're right up on top of you. And they're not trying to do anything. They're not going to attack you. But when they walk up, spread their tail feathers, make one of those screeching noises, man, I mean, it's about the closest thing you'll come to, you know, pissing your pants. But if you find those great big tail feathers laying around, which you will when you're there, they ask you to turn them in. They won't let you take them with you, and they conveniently sell them for like $20 a piece there at the door. So I'm sure that's part of the plan. But, yeah, that's cool to let you eat that. And, you know, it gives you – it's more firepower to go back when that kind of stuff happens. And I think a lot of businesses forget that sometimes if you give a little – that return investment a lot of times is monumental, you know. So that was good that he did that. And best of my knowledge, they're still open and cruising around. It's probably been a year and a half, 2 years since I was last there, but – yeah, that's definitely a good call.
Yep. And
now,
Granny, another simple thing. Yes. Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Wanted to run over to Granny. Thank you. You're keeping us on track.
Yeah. Right on, Granny.
Well, there's a little, you know, drive-through animal park up in Gentry, Arkansas, called Wilderness Safari. I haven't been to it in a long time. It didn't used to be very costly to drive through, and they had like a little petting zoo, you know, and everything, which was kind of fun. And I remember one time I took my son there, and there they had this great big chimpanzee, like he was like in a cage type thing, and he mimicked everything he saw. I mean, everything he saw. And there was this couple, and they were standing there, you know, I don't know, even they were in their probably 20s, you know, and they were holding hands and they were kissing each other. And that chimpanzee, he had his lips stuck through the cage and he was, you know, making that smack, that kissing sound, you know. And the guy, he shook his fist at the monkey, and the chip, he shook his fist back, and the guy flipped him off. And the chip, man, he's standing there flipping off everybody. People are walking by this chip. He's flipping people off. That was kind of fun. Now, I know when I lived at Holiday Island over by Eureka Springs, when I first moved to Arkansas, there was a gentleman by the name of, his last name was Tatum, and he had a exotic animal park out there for a while, and he sold it, and they put some sort of animal park up near Eagle Rock, Missouri, which you can drive through and, you know, see the animals. And, of course, you've got Turpentine Creek in Eureka Springs. Now, you know, their tickets, you know, I think $25 for an adult. But what people doesn't understand about Turpentine Creek is everything that you pay when you pay for your tickets or you pay to stay in one of their lodging. They have little areas that you can spend the night at, you know, their lodges. All that money that they make off the tickets and when people stay there at the lodging, all that money goes to help those tigers and lions and bears and cougars and, you know, I mean, they have – and the neat thing about Turpentine Creek, the neat thing about Turpentine Creek now, it used to be they had little individual cages, and you could go on the tour and walk through the, you know, the facility. But now, for the past, I'd say probably 10 years or so, give or take, they started building natural habitats for those animals, which I think is really cool. And they also have an area which people don't get to go down and tour what they call Rescue Ridge. What Rescue Ridge is, it's for their older bears and lions and tigers, that those animals can go live there at Rescue Ridge and live out the rest of their lives in peace and quiet in their own little natural habitat, which I think is really cool. They've got, let's see, they've got Bam Bam. He's their only grizzly bear. They've got a black bear, a couple black bears, and I think they call it a cinnamon honey brown bear that they have. And they've got some white tigers. They've got some what they call ligers, which is a combination of a lion and tiger. Now, another thing about Turpentine Creek that people don't understand is a lot of these animals were rescued from individuals that own these. Like they had a tiger, they called him S.A. because they got him out of San Antonio, Texas. He was a guard tiger for a drug ring at a warehouse.
What the hell am I doing?
But I mean, these people, and there were some people that just had these, you know, they thought, oh, a baby lion or a baby tiger, you know, and, you know, they don't understand that these animals are going to grow up to be big, you know, big animals, you know, and they couldn't take care of them. And so I know the family personally. I mean, my son went to school with their kids. I mean, I knew Tanya's mom, Hilda, before she passed away 10 years ago. I mean, this is the most phenomenal place. And I mean, I love going there just because I know the money that I spend, whether it's in the gift shop, and you can sponsor these animals if you want. You can go to their website and you can sponsor these animals, you know, and they send you a letter. They send you a picture of the animal you're sponsoring, which I think is kind of cool. Now, closer to my area where I am, I mean, I'm about 2 hours from Eureka Springs, but of course, you could go up by the Passion Play, and you could see the big Christ of the Ozark statue. They have this great big statue of the Christ of the Ozark, which is really neat. It doesn't cost to go up and just walk around and look at the Passion Play area, you know, and everything. And of course, you got the little shops downtown. You can walk around and look. But they have closer to where I'm at. They have a park. It's called Devil's Den, and people, you can go hiking. You can go, I mean, bike trail rides. I mean, and here lately, around Northwest Arkansas especially, they have added so many bike trails in Springdale where I live. People, I mean, you see people constantly out riding their bikes. I mean, just all over town. Now, closer to Rogers, they have this really neat thing. It's called Montanay, and they actually have a restaurant down there. And I tell you, if you like fried chicken, oh, my God, this is the best place to eat. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, collard green. I mean, you name it. I mean, the food, biscuits, and, I mean, the food is phenomenal. But they had a resort there back in the 1930s that actually sunk underwater in Beaver Lake. And sometimes when the water's low enough, you could walk down by Beaver Lake and see some of those ruins back from, you know, they had an amphitheater. I mean, you could see the steps that you could walk down to where the amphitheater was. I mean, you can't always go down there. It just depends on how high the water is, you know. But if the water's low enough, you can actually go down there and walk around and see some of those ruins, which is kind of cool. They have a botanical gardens here in Fayetteville. I don't think that costs very much just to, you know, walk through the garden area. I mean, there's lots of things. I mean, they have Crystal Bridges up in Bentonville. It's like, I've never been to Crystal Bridges. And they just opened this near, very close to my house. It's some sort of the J.B. Hunt family opened this up, and it's some sort of like wildlife thing, I think, where you can go in and see different types of fish. My husband and I are wanting to go just to see what it's like, but right now that doesn't cost anything just to walk through and, you know, look around. So there, I mean, there's lots of things to do, you know, that's not too costly, you know, where I'm at, you know, so.
Yeah, that's good to go. If I had, and to throw something in there, Granny Hawkster, you've been touching on, is though the stuff we're speaking on is inexpensive, you know, that kind of stuff, don't be scared, folks, to go out there and throw some money at these things. And when I say that, because they're the little guy. They're running on a privately owned budget. There's no fallback, you know, like Disney has. You know, there's not a bad day at Disney financially. They always have something to fall back on, whereas some of these attractions that we're speaking on tonight, you know, they survive, especially the one with the animals and all that kind of jazz, because feeding those animals costs a fortune. So, I mean, the constant upkeep, feeding them and everything. So, you know, don't be afraid to go out there and drop a little bit of cash in there as a donation, because you're still coming out ahead, bang for your buck. So, yeah, that's definitely a good call, Granny Hawkster. Well done. Now,
all right. Can I talk, everyone?
Yeah,
go for
ahead.
It. All right, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I can top everything.
No, you did.
Everything. It finally hit me. I realized what I need to say. Just a
ta-da.
Four. What? All right. 4 miles away by car. Takes you 6 minutes to get there, okay? This attraction, 4 miles by car, 6 minutes to get there. That's, you know, right around the corner. For free. Absolutely for free. All you got to do is sign up. And it does have to be a non-COVID time period. But with all that, sometime in, I want to say, late July, you can cruise right down here to Grand Park and watch the Colts in spring training. Or, I'm sorry, spring training. Dang it. You know what I mean. The camp.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't charge you at all?
Nope. All you have to do is sign up. You get tickets. It was free when we went. I think that was 2 years ago. But I want to say the camp start in late July. But yeah, all you got to do is register, because, you know, I think they have different times that you go and obviously different days. So no, they don't separate it by time, because you go there for the whole day. But yeah, we went. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was kind of a pain in the butt to walk to where we had to go, but, I mean, for free, you're going to sit there and watch the Indianapolis Colts just a couple hundred feet away from you practice. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. So,
yeah,
and we are, like, we are ridiculously close to the Colts now do their training camp at Grand Park is what they call it, which is some huge complex that Westfield's spent a crap ton of money on. To build you. It's the main attraction. So if there's any plug that I needed to do for Westfield, it would be Grand Park. It really is a state-of-the-art sports complex. They've got a million soccer fields. They've got baseball diamonds that are top-notch. It is expensive. Like, if they've got games there going on, and usually what's happening is you're high-paying, like, travel teams and stuff like that. So we're talking, like, kids. A lot of kids play there, basically. But And it's not cheap to attend their games. But, yeah, so the big, huge indoor facility, the Indiana Pacers practice, and then the Indianapolis Colts, I believe they've officially moved. They've got another center down there on 56th Street, which is in town, Indianapolis proper. But up here in Westfield, I know they do at least the training camp. So, yeah, anyway, I happen to think of that. It's pretty good stuff.
No kidding. Yeah, because I know if you go to any spring training baseball, they'll wear you out cost-wise. I mean, you're still looking at these $8 beers and that kind of jazz. And, again, it does kind of take away from the general experience when you're having to drop a whole lot of bank on these things, especially, you know, when you're looking at spring training versus a regular game. So the ability to get in there for near to nothing and actually enjoy some scrimmage ball, or just watching them practice, for crying out loud, just watching them out there throw the ball to one another, pretty damn entertaining, especially when you're a fan. So, yeah, good call on that one, Tim. Well done. Outstanding. I didn't even know that existed, so that was good to go. But
yeah,
now,
and I'm curious if other camps are like that. I mean, I know the Colts, I don't know if they're the only one that does that or if most camps, let you in for free. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think the Redskins do because they do practice in Richmond, and to the best of my knowledge, it's an actual operation there. Now, I did, when I was up there doing a con for my book series, we did stay at a hotel that had, it was the hotel that housed all the teammates. So, they were pretty easy to pick out. You know, they were the monoliths walking around the lobby, 7 foot tall, 370 pounds, could run the 40 and a 4.3.
Right.
You know, those were the guys. But as per the actual facility, I think the Skins charge everything, to be honest with you. So that's pretty unique. And, and it's good to hear that some of these high-dollar entities, and let's face it, every NFL team is a high-dollar entity, still has the ability to give back or to be reasonable. Because going back while I was paying about $8 beer, I don't know how many times, you got to have a beer when you're at the ball game. But, you go there and they hand you a cup of beer that's, your general, 12-ounce cup of beer. Half of it's foam because nobody knows how to tilt the cup when they're pouring it out of a keg. And they ask $8 for it. And then, of course, if it's a guy bringing it to you, he's going to want a tip. And you're going to drop a $10 bill on one can of beer, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And, that's a bit much. Yeah, that's because they know you're a sucker for a beer at a ball game, So it's good to hear that they're doing stuff that, like that. So, yeah, man. Good call. I had to look that up.
Yeah.
Now,
it's good stuff.
Todd, with you being around here, have you ever taken your crowd to the Aurora Fossil Museum?
I have not. There was, go ahead, run on that. There's some couple things I want to bring up, something that was fairly local. Getting a little bit closer to you.
Well,
going to the Aurora Fossil Museum, it's funny. I think I just saw that somebody just did that on Facebook or some such.
Oh, really? We found that place years ago when Rob was a little guy. So I'm going to say, 15, 16, 17 years ago. What it is, the background is right there where Aurora is towards the Albemarle, and it's not the Outer Banks, but it's as far east in North Carolina as you can get. Millions of years ago, all that was underwater, and it is one of the most phosphorus-rich places on the planet, unlike what Borat tried to tell us. So anyhow, what happens is they dredge up this stuff. They siphon the phosphorus from the diggings, and then the diggings, they deposit, and that's usually turned into powder, talc, gravel and the like and that kind of stuff. But there are tons of fossils in that stuff. So what they do is when they dredge the stuff up, they will take an actual dump truck and put the non-phosphorus, after it's been mined, into the back of this dump truck, and they'll drive it to this fossil museum in Aurora, and with lack of a better term, they just back it up to this spot and just dump it. And you go out there, they don't give you tools, they don't give you none of that. You got to go out there with your sifters and your shovels and all that good, and you can just dig all day long, and it's free. Now, the museum part where they have the different fossils they found and everything, I want to say that's a small charge, and they do ask for donations, of course, which you should oblige. But I know I went out there the first time we went out there. I found 100 shark teeth plus in an hour flat standing up. I wasn't even down there in the stuff. I was just standing up finding these things. Matter of fact, I was exhausting myself bending over picking up all these damn shark teeth. And we have found skate teeth. And it helps to do a little bit of homework before you go to see what's there. And they'll show you pictures and everything, because damn near everything you pick up is a fossil of some type or another. And we have found shark's teeth, vertebrae, skate teeth, you name it, and playing in the dirt. Except instead of coming up brown, you come up white. And now I will tell you, if you're taking kids out there, you definitely want to pack a cooler full of drinks, and you want to bring the sunscreen, because there is near to no shade out there. But Aurora is a little small place, and you'll drive right by it by accident. And the drive out there is pretty nice. And if you're coming from the Jacksonville area, it used to be almost a two-hour drive, but now that they did that New Bern bypass, you can actually get there in half the time now. But it's up around the Vanceboro area. And, I mean, just fantastic. And, you know, for, you know, the little guys that are, and I say little guys, you know, hell, I could be a little guy out there digging all damn day for all it means. But, you know, teens a lot of times are too cool for the room. But if you got them around that four to 10-year-old thing, they can go out there and have the damn time of their lives. And all it takes is a bucket, sifter, and a shovel. And I suggest carrying some Ziploc bags, too, so you can put your goodies in there and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's another one, Aurora Fossil Museum. So I know they've got a website, so don't take the time to peck that into Google in between looking up weather and porn and everything on your Internet browsing. So give that one a shot. But, Todd, you had something to add. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was thinking about there's a guy that ran the corn maze, not all that far from you. It's, what is that, Southwest is the high school just down the road?
Yeah, right there on 53.
So there's a turnoff right near there. You go down a ways. He had a great corn maze. Any of those corn mazes, anywhere that time of the year they do the stuff. But he had a little deal where he had like a little bit of semi-fossil gem hunting type thing. He had like the little fake, like a sluice running on, kind of like you're out, was it when the people would go mining the rivers and stuff like that?
Right.
And, you know, the waterways try to find the gold in there. I didn't necessarily have that, but I mean, he'd have some neat stuff like an agate or this or that in there. And it was just, it was really reasonable. It was really not an unfair thing. We had done that. They had a, you know, they got the one box. It's like that at the aquarium there at Pine Knoll Shores and that, where the kids can go in there and they can find odds and ends, neat little crap. Well, given some of the kids in there, they probably found crap too. That's beside the point. But love the corn maze stuff. Some of those different little things that happen around those times of the year, some of them, you know, and those are pretty much always a local-owned, operated thing. And some of them, man, they grow like the special breeds of corn that are like way damn tall. You can be a pro basketball player and not see over the stinking top of those things. And I don't mean Muggsy Bogues. I mean, like, you know, the other guys. You're going to be one of the big, big, tall guys and not see over those things. So those are just, they're just cool. They're just, rather cool, they're rather fun, those kinds of things. Again, he had like that many little sluice, and you were going through there and trying to find stuff and kind of a bunch of simple stuff, that kind of thing. I love that kind of stuff. People talk about the, you know, you can go out through the hiking and all that. I brought up the fishing earlier. You'd be surprised what you find when you're out there, that kind of thing. The if you just watch around you and observe the and I think, oh yeah, in fact, this came up since in between our last podcast and this. I think it's I call it a matter of observation. People don't always, you know, mind you, I just happened to be outside at the right time. We had that cold, frosty morning. I happened to walk outside. I don't remember if this was Thursday or Friday morning. I can't remember which one. I walked out, got a little bit of light in the sky. It was around 6 a.m., and I wanted to, you know, step across the ground because I didn't see a lot of frost on the cars, but I saw stuff on the rooftops. So I was like, okay, is the ground going to be crunchy? I wanted to walk over at the fence. Neighbor's flower was rose had come right through the fence and had just had a beautiful bloom. I was like, man, did that beautiful bloom make it through the day or not? And I turn around and look, and you all saw the videos. I looked up in the sky, and this was absolutely free. It's just being aware and being in the right place at the right time. And I see, and I'm like, what the hell am I seeing? It appeared to be like there was a spotlight shining, like if any of you ever seen the spotlights from helicopters and stuff. And I was thought I was seeing the side glare, except it had a hell of an altitude. And then I realized it was moving laterally way too quick to be anything helicopter related. So I'm like, what am I seeing? And then the shape came a little more clear, and it took me a couple more seconds to realize I should go ahead and grab my doggone cell and get a video of what I'm watching. And sure enough, SpaceX flying by right after its launch. It was rather cool, but that was absolutely free. And the thing I took away from that was one of these things, and I know, Dave, you're, you know, we got to find me some fecal matter, find me some, you know, skeletal remains and stuff like that for our Bigfooters and lizard men and stuff like that. But you've also mentioned, I don't know why people can't get stuff on cell phone. I'll tell you right now, by the time I comprehended what I was seeing and thought about grabbing the cell to take to get some video of it, I lost quite a bit of time, easily, minimum 15 seconds, minimum. So for my cryptid friends out there, just, you know, I get it when that stuff happens, although I had a much better amount of time to sit there and view because I got some friggin' awesome video of SpaceX flying by. Thought that was cool. But to go back to the corn maze field, stuff like that. And let me ask, since I got you all here, what'd you all think of that video? Because I posted it on
a group.
I thought
it was pretty cool.
Chat.
Dude, that's pretty awesome.
It was something else. Yeah, I was impressed. Kind of jealous of the fact that I wasn't out there to see it myself because you know, when you got three dogs, you're constantly in the yard letting them out. And damn if I didn't miss it.
Right.
But yeah, that
I just happened to turn around. Yeah, I was, you'd be surprised how many people ask, is that your video? Did you really do that? Did you copy it? Did you modify it? Did what? Nope. When it got shitty was when I tried to expand the video. So the best 10 and a half seconds roughly, because depending upon when I look at the recording, it says 10 or 11 seconds, was when I just did it at default settings. When I tried to do some of the zoom in stuff, it definitely pixelated a bit, but it was just crazy how quick everything happened.
Yeah, I would imagine. And, you know, not having that SpaceX thing, because when I saw the video, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, holy Jesus, man, what the hell is he filming? Because I saw the picture in the video before I actually read what you had posted. And, you know, leave it to me to do some ass backwards stuff like that. But I looked at it, and I'm like, good God, is that a damn asteroid? What the hell is that, you know? And,
well,
you know, then it said,
I'm with you, because I knew the Lyrid meteor showers were going on. I was like, dude, that ain't no meteor. That looks like a damn comet.
Well, that's what I
right.
took from it. And I'm thinking, you know, do I need to call my folks and tell them I love them and everything? You know, what the hell is getting ready to go down? Yeah, you know, I started thinking about Bruce Willis on Armageddon and the whole damn 9 yards. And then I started reading on it. I was like, oh, damn, that's right. They launched, you know, SpaceX. And despite the fact, because I think they launched out of Florida, same out of Canaveral, do they not?
Yes, yes. And that's the only reason we saw it here on the coast.
Yeah, so, I mean, despite the fact that North Carolina, where we're at, is probably a good 14, 15-hour drive from there, still, when you have that amount of power, you know, that's leaving the atmosphere and everything. As a matter of fact, if you look in the night sky around here, they always say, and it's real easy to spot with the telescope, apparently, but if you look up and there's always a flashing, almost like a pulsating flash in the sky, that is the space lab, or whatever the hell they call it up there. And they say
telescope. Dave, when ISS passes, because it's not geostationary, as far as I know, but when the guy on Channel 12 that... God, he's been here a while now. He replaced old boy that died, the only one that called Dennis, right, that said Dennis was going to leave and come back and hit us twice.
Oh, you're talking about the weather
he
guy.
Replaced Skip. He replaced Skip,
yeah.
The new guy.
Yeah,
now,
God,
now,
what is that?
He's probably been here a decade plus, and I'm saying the new guy. What the hell?
Yeah.
Donnie. That's pretty good for not having seen that on television in about 4 years. The you'll always do it, but no, the ISS will pass pretty quick. But some of the geosynchronous things, you can definitely identify pretty well.
Yeah, that's cool stuff, man. And again, it's one of those things where you got to kind of have the prior knowledge to look for it. But, yeah, that must have been a serious pucker moment to look up and see that thing going through the sky, and you're wondering what in the hell, because the way things have been going around here,
exactly.
it wouldn't shock me a damn bit to find out that E.T.'s showing up, you know, would fall in with everything
else.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I really did not expect to see that at all. Then when I twigged, and again, It did click right up front about what it was at all. That's just kind of the way it went, though. I got lucky to get a solid 10-plus seconds there, and kind of like my sex life. And the it was just...
Nice.
It was a sight to behold.
Yeah, you know, and the one bit of... relief I take from the possibility of aliens visiting is the fact that they're probably looking for intelligent life, and they're not going to find it in the United States right now. So that probably is going to keep us safer than anything else. But nevertheless,
and not if they're checking with our academia.
That's for damn certain. So again, don't get me on a tangent, but.
All I know is Tim and I had a bit of a discussion earlier, and I pointed out some other teams were asking for help from the brains of the outfit. I'm just saying. Ain't that right, Tim?
I concur.
Just saying. But I'm telling you, it was a dilly of a joke.
I like that. I like it a lot.
you were speaking earlier, Todd, about the sluiceways and that kind of stuff, the panning and that kind of jazz. Now, it's a darn shame Dr. John is not here because he is from Marion, North Carolina, which is a small town. Now, I haven't been there in probably, 10, 12 years, so I don't know, you know, how much expanding it's done. But it's right there in the mountains on the east side of the mountains, right around your Hickory, just past Hickory, but not as far as Asheville. And they have several places there where you can pan for gold, the gem mining, that kind of jazz. There's Spruce Pine and all those places. There's a little bit of treacherous driving. If you don't like that mountain driving, it could be a little little white knuckle and or not appealing for some. But nevertheless, there's a place, God, I wish I could remember the name of it, that we went to in Marion where you pay – I want to say it was $5 a head. And then again, it's probably gone up just because of, you know, inflationary needs and everything. But they give you a, you know, they got the sluice way. It's in, it's covered, it's in a canopy. There's plenty of stools you can sit on. And they've just got these big-ass mounds of dirt. I mean, I can't describe it any better than that. It looks like a giant anthill. And you go over there, and you fill your bucket up, and you dip your pan in that water, or the pan in the dirt, and then you start doing a little shaking in the sluice way. And I think a lot of folks misconstrue when you're panning for gold that the predominance of the gold you'll find is actually gold dust. It's not the actual nuggets like you see on the cartoons and everything. So what you got to do is you got to learn how to use the ribs on the side of that, because unlike the guys that were doing it in the, you know, 1840s and everything, they have ridges now on these pans, and the gold is lighter than the dirt is. And what will happen is you'll shake it, or better yet, the gold is heavier. I'm sorry, I have that backwards. The gold is heavier, so the gold will settle down in the ridges of the pan. And pretty nifty little thing they do there is they give you a pill dropper. Well, not a pill dropper, but, you know, like a, you know, you, what's those damn little Malicon tablet or Malicon drops you give little babies, those little droppers?
Yeah, like, kind of the old school various droppers that would show the little ounceage and all that, yep.
Yeah. So what you do is you go on the ridges, and the trick is you pinch the end of it there. You have that dropper empty, and you pinch the end of it, forcing all the air out of it, and then you dip it into the pan right on that ridge, and you run it right across that ridge there and suck the damn gold dust up. And they'll even give you these little vials, and you unscrew the top of the vial, and the guy shows you, put your thumb over it, put the pill dropper in there, and put your thumb on top of that, and just squeeze it, and it shoots damn near nothing but gold dust and water into your little vial. So then what you do is you let all that gold dust settle at the bottom of the vial, and you simply you don't go in there, you know, heavy-handed it, but you go in there gently, stick it in there, and you just draw the water back out, and you just shoot the water in the damn sluice way, and you go back and do it again. And when we were there, there was a guy who found a nugget, and when I use the term nugget, it was about the size of an M&M. But if you think about the price of gold now, and if you ever watch that Bering Sea Gold on, I can't remember what the hell, TLC or History Channel, whatever it is, Discovery, if you watch that, those guys basically take that gold dust and they boil it. They boil it dry. They boil it until all the water is gone. They use a hot plate. It's as primitive as hell. It's a hot plate with an old pot. They pour the gold in there and they just boil it until there's no moisture at all left, and they pour that gold dust into a damn Solo cup, and they weigh it, and that's how they figure out how much the score was. So that place there, like I said, it was like $5 a head. You can drive in the mountain there. If you've ever been to the mountains, it is so different. It could be 95 degrees outside, and you'll have to wear a sweatshirt. It's just a different kind of feeling out there, different kind of air. And now there are some places out there that are a little pricey. They kind of do it as a tourist trap, so you got to do your homework when you're going up that way. But that one in Marion, and I wish I could remember the name of it, Lucky Strike. That's what it was, Lucky Strike Gold Mine. That's what it was. And unless you know it's there, you won't find it. And that's what made it so good. So there's another one that, you know, if you're up in that mountain area or would rather head to the mountains instead of heading to the beach, which, you know, I couldn't blame anybody for that either. Another nifty thing, you know, to check into. So we're at that quarter after mark. And by God, this show went by quick. So figure what we can do is go ahead and start passing it around now, and 15 minutes, plenty of time to do our plugs and everything. And then we'll sign off, and I'll get back to scraping seaweed off of the vines tonight and shower up and perhaps get a couple hours worth of sleep this evening. So does anybody want to start with the plugs?
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Come on, Greg.
I'll go ahead. You go, Granny.
Go right here.
Oh. Well, I really don't have any plugs per se. I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and everybody stay safe and be good to each other and be kind to each other. And, you know, I just can't believe that May 1st is almost here. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's gonna be a good rest of the week, I hope, for everyone. So.
Awesome, Granny. Okay. And remember to watch the movie The Color Purple.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Purple Rain. You know,
see the way
I
about
you know what? You know what? I just thought of something funny, guys. I'm going to, next time I see Will all day and he's wearing purple, I'm going to call him the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a self-esteem booster right there. Hell yeah. You know, oddly
see,
enough.
See, we could probably do, you know, silly thought thing there. We could probably do a show on all those silly arsed songs that have come out over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
God, yeah. Without a doubt. Matter of fact, I heard The Streak on the radio today. You remember that one, Ray Stevens?
Oh, The Streak, Ray Stevens, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see him in concert one time, and I tell you, he was absolutely amazing.
It was too late.
Too late. She already got a free shot.
And I always liked his song, The Mississippi Squirrel. The one where he took the squirrel to church.
God, don't know that one, but what was I like that doggone, what was it, Easy Rider by Charlie Daniels. I think it was Easy Rider, the one where he talked about he was a hippie with the damn hot rod and not to be confused with Hot Rod Lincoln, which is another one of those songs. But he pulled into some bar and he had the rednecks there and he called the guy, said he was some sort of spy for the FBI and all this kind of, oh my God. Another good song.
Another one I have to look up. I haven't heard that one. Much Charlie Daniels stuff I've heard, crying out loud. Never heard that one.
Pretty sure it's Charlie Daniels.
Tim, what you got?
Well, I figure keeping in the spirit of things, I'll give one more little, while we're trying to make plugs here, you know, talking about things to do. you know, relatively close to us. So seeing as how this is, this would be the last show in April, so that means the month of May is coming up. This is basically Indianapolis here, so there, I believe the 500 is coming back. They're going to have spectators, even though they're cutting it down to, I don't know, half of the crowd, maybe a third. I think it's that half the spectators are going to let in, but I'm looking forward to the month of May here. Indianapolis 500 is what we're known for. So with that being said, looking forward to the warm weather that hopefully will follow, and everyone take care. I'll let Todd say all that stuff. On to the next person.
Actually, absolutely. I think Tim's got another story on that. Didn't you, weren't you working like EMT stuff or something like that at the, I know you got at least one story at the 500?
Oh God, do we have time for it? But yes, you're right. You're
yeah,
spot
we're
on.
At like, we're at like 8.5 minutes, dude.
Most definitely.
In fact, I was just talking to a police officer the other day, sharing, swapping stories, and this is the story that I'll mention here about it. It was a whole day I could go on forever describing this day. My first day as an EMT. Yes, I was a state certified EMT for a while because I was trying to be a firefighter. So I got myself a part-time job at Rural Metro. They, at the time, they provided EMS service for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So with that being said, woke up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to drive out to Rural Metro headquarters. We all caravaned in, sat there toward the end of the day. So I'm going to obviously fast forward to all the nerve-wracking anxiety stuff, but end of the day, I'll put it this way, tornadoes were getting ready to come in. So the race had just ended. Everybody was, you know, getting out of there. They were basically like, everyone get out. We've got, you know, major storm system coming in. Dude bangs on our window. I'm in the ambulance. I'm driving Med 8. I'm just basic life support, but I'm driving Med 8 because I got a paramedic with me. And in the middle of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this guy knocks on my window and says, hey, my buddy over here is in trouble. And I'm thinking, shit, we're in line to get out of this place, trying to just get out of there and get home to the end of a long, stressful day. And, our, you know, obviously we're going to get out and see what's going on. So we walk over. There's a 16-year-old kid who's passed out, been drinking all day. He's got puke all over himself. And he had been drinking on, like, straight vodka the entire day. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about, you know, I'm sure you've done your fair share of spectating and, you know, fill in the blank here event. So a day at the track in the month of May, late May, all day, you're in the sun. I mean, this track is huge. You're out in the sun. You're baking. And yes, we all drink beer and everything, but the main thing is you've got to stay hydrated. So just picture this kid out in the sun all day, you know, toward the end of May, slamming down. I mean, I think it was, fifth water vodka. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to get to. So long story short, again, taking this kid to the hospital. End of the race. We're heading down 16th Street to Methodist Hospital. Drop him off, take care of business, boom, that's done. Again, not sure what you know about Indianapolis Motor Speedway after the race or anything, but you've got well over 300,000 people there in attendance. So when it's done, you got to get people out of there. So the traffic, at least on 16th Street, and I'm sure it follows the same with the other roads, they take all the lanes, and they're now outbound from the motor speedway. You can't get in. You can only go out. So imagine three lanes, I think, maybe two lanes on each side. Well, all that traffic is going out. We were at Methodist Hospital, but we were told we had to go back to the motor speedway to report to their hospital before we could caravan back. And I was like, say what? So we go down, and sure enough, I hit this traffic coming toward me. I meet up with another cop, and he says, you're going to have to just do lights and sirens and go back down the road. And I was like, are you serious? And he said, yeah. So I said, all right. And I headed down the opposite flow of traffic down 16th Street. No, I'm not going to do it again, Todd. Sorry. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing right there. Not going to do it. So I'm going to sound like Eddie Murphy in what is it, Raw or whatever? I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know if it's Raw either. It might be one of those specials. He does a pretty good sound effect like that. But I'm heading down 16th Street, and I got cars on the left of me, cars on the right, going in the opposite direction. And the last thing that I remember is, I guess I blacked out for the rest of it, but a cop stopped me in the middle of one of the intersections, and he was like, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "I need to get back there." And I think eventually he must have just let me go. He realized there was nothing else to do. I can't remember past that point of talking to the cop exactly what we did. I think it might have just been that stressful. But, so one of my little fun of many – one of many of my stories coming out of that day. I got to run, and I don't know, in my 20s, mid-20s. First day as an EMT, and I found myself on 16th Street headed, you know, against the grain with everyone, lights and sirens, tornadoes on the way, trying to get back in the tracks. All right. Who's next?
That was a money shot.
Yep.
Outstanding. The things we do and survive. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, was a story you would not have gotten unless I prompted it. So you are welcome. The great story.
That's true.
It's been great to be back for as long as I've been able to be back. I have to be back doing the get in and work a couple days a week, that kind of stuff as far as on site. Don't want anybody to think it's like I ain't been working since then, because Lord knows that telework has been eating some hours. So all's good here. Reminder, take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of one another. And I know I always say be safe, but even better than that, be smart. Dave, all yours.
Absolutely. Well, very well said. I agree totally. Just real quick, like, just a big happy birthday to our brother-in-arms, Will Williams, out there on the left coast. I'm sure.
You got a birthday coming up too, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday. I'll be dialing over that 51. So, imagine that. I made it another year. This one went by way too quick. But, yeah. So, what I'm doing this week.
Happy birthday, Will. Yep.
I'm currently celebrating a birth week, because I figure if I made it to 50, damn it, I shouldn't just get one day. I should get a whole week out of it. And then by the time I hit 60, up yours, British lady, I'll be doing a birth month. So, but yeah, I appreciate it. Happy birthday, Will. I will be getting up with you this weekend. And just to echo what Todd was saying is, just try to do good. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there, and I think a lot of people aren't thinking things through on both sides. Protect yourself. Keep your eyes open at all time. But moreover, just take the moment to try to do a little something good. And it doesn't have to be monumentous. It doesn't have to be it's holding the door open for somebody. It's looking somebody in the eye and saying, "Good afternoon, how you doing?" I'm not saying you got to be SpongeBob happy. I'm just saying be pleasant and try to make things better instead of constantly turning the screw. And so with that being said, don't forget to donate to your local businesses like we were speaking on tonight. Great topic and everything that we, shed light on this evening. You drop a little bit of that money you save back to them, because it'll definitely come through for you. So with all that being said, I am going to ease into the Atwell Estates here. This time I will
uneasy
signal that
rider,
place.
By the way. Uneasy rider.
Cut us off.
Uneasy rider.
Well, that being said, we appreciate everybody listening. Good to have you. And thanks again for joining us this evening on this pretty Wednesday night, Pop Culture Stars. Good evening, everybody.
Be safe, Paul.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good dogs. Works out for everybody. Not a lot of people know that.
At least the internet held up. And...